You have the Word of God, please take the Bible. Let's turn to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter number 7, verse number 1. Deuteronomy 7, and we'll look at verse number 1 momentarily. And I want to encourage the parents to pay close attention. You know, everybody has to deal with hopelessness. And we've been looking at emotions in the Bible for the past several Sundays, and we took a little bit of a break from looking at the emotional aspect of things that we have to deal with in life, whether it be guilt, insecurity, bitterness. We don't think how our emotions really drive and often wreck our lives. And God has made us in three parts. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 tells us that God made a spirit, soul, and body. And each one of those compartments, each one of those parts of man's trichotomy has different parts to it. And just like there's a Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, there's the Trinity. We're made in three parts. And our spirit is dark and trespassed in sins. When we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Spirit comes and dwells within our spirit. And we become a child of God at that moment with a repentant heart. We put our faith in Christ. There's no other way to go to heaven except through Jesus Christ. I hate to be a bearer of bad news, but that's not bad news. That's good news. At least now you know the way. And the fact that God made us three parts, and our soul is our intellect, emotion, and will, and we're so driven by our emotions, many people that have put their faith in Christ often wonder, am I really saved? Is there really a God? Because of things that we may face in life, things that we feel, that while we're facing things in life. And Moses in Deuteronomy chapter number 7 is telling the nation of Israel, he said, look, you're going to get into the promised land. You're going to face these giants, these enemies, this enemy. And we have looked here in the past several Sundays that each one of these powerful tribes, nations, that the children of Israel were going to face, you can actually trace each one of these back to an emotion that you and I experience as human beings. And in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1, the Bible says, when the Lord God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord God shall, what's this word here? It's key for us to understand. When we're facing these emotional giants, God has already promised deliverance. And we're going to talk about that today. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver thee before them, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. I've been saying for the past several Sundays, if we began to look at our emotions as an hostile invader, trying to do a coup d'etat, if you will, on the Lord Jesus Christ, if we have put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God, by His Son, reigns in our spirit. But just like any idol that we may allow into our life that comes and challenges the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, so likewise we can allow our emotions to challenge the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life and dethrone Him. And when we have an idol in our life, you know, the Bible teaches that we are to confess that sin and put Jesus Christ back in His proper place and forsake that idol. But if you notice with our emotions, we kind of cater to them. We kind of expect our emotions to prevail more often than we would want the Holy Spirit to prevail. And if you notice here in verse number 2, and the Bible says, when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them. And get this, and utterly destroy them, thou shalt make no covenant with them. Oftentimes we make an agreement with our covenant. And we're looking at today this at this emotion that the Jebusites, in verse 1, you notice the Jebusites there. And you can trace this word. This word means defeated. How many ever felt like you're defeated? Something in life, some situation, some relationship, some circumstance where you feel defeated and hopeless. And when you're hopeless, there's something that comes along with hopelessness. And it's often described as depression. And depression is a real thing that we all have to deal with. And some people have very serious bouts of it because they let these thoughts go too far in their life. And it's a very serious matter. And so parents, I want you to take heart at this thing, and because your children will get depressed. And from a young age, they need to know the Word of God. Like Paul told Timothy, from a child that has known the Holy Scripture, that we as parents can help build their spirit in God's Word, that they can learn to handle the emotional waves that come in our life. Just as the lady's just saying, when God speaks, and that's the essence of it, when we have to learn to hear God speak, and He says, peace, be still. Amen. And learning to hear His voice, and we'll look a little bit more at that here in just a moment. You see, depression is a sense of hopelessness. And we want to look at a passage of Scripture, if you would, that really describes this. Now, let me just say this. There's several types of depression. And I'm not going to get into that this morning, and I'm certainly not using a secular model here, so please, their models are flawed, okay? I'm not even going to get into that and start talking about that. But let's go to Psalms chapter number 38. If God made man, don't you think God knew after the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, man was going to have emotional bouts of depression? And insecurity, bitterness, and all these things that we face, certainly God did. And you see, this is where church comes in. This is where the Lord Jesus Christ comes in. You know, we can go to a college and learn how to build a spaceship, and we might not necessarily need God for that. Now, I suggest you put God in everything you do. But there are lost people who can build a spaceship. But here's the thing. Only the Word of God is going to tell you how to rule and reign, how to live your life, and how to order things in your heart. Amen? Amen? Only God's Word. And this is where man needs God most. And God focuses on these very things in His Word. Now, the secular community, when it comes to the mental health, they have tried to push aside the church and say, you can't help people. But I totally and utterly disagree with that. Because God made man. And since God made man, He knows what man needs. And it's not some sinner who's sitting across from you with a coat and tie who has a PhD behind his name that has his own problems, who wouldn't dare let you look into his life or her life because their world is probably just as dark as the people they're trying to counsel. Only Jesus Christ can give light. And so we have to understand this. If you're going to get help, go to the right place. I don't fault people for getting help. But we have been deceived in many respects to where to get help from. And we can see in Psalms 38 that David, of all people, is dealing with a great bout of hopelessness, or may we say depression. I'm just going to kind of go through these Bible verses here and make comments, but I want you to see here that God's Word deals with this. And that's what I want you to get across first this morning. Psalms 38, verse 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot, what? Displeasure. Now David's talking about a hot displeasure here. For thine arrows, now whose arrows are they? God's. We're seeing many times where our depression comes from. We think it's because of life or... Now, let me just say this. There is some organic problems people may have that is legitimate depression, or in other words, clinical depression, where you have some chemical imbalance. I'm not speaking along those lines today. But other types of depression. Remember, I said there's several types. And this is the type right here where... The depression is being brought on by God. Notice where the arrows are coming from. Verse 2. Notice this. For thine arrows stick what? Fast in me, and thy hand presseth me what? Sore. David is saying, God, your hand is upon me. And you see, when people don't realize sometimes where the source of depression is coming from, you can't get the right solution or the answer to the problem. Now, this is just one type, okay? But understand, David acknowledged where his source of depression is coming from. Notice verse 3 it says. He says, there is no soundness in my flesh because of what? Thine anger. Listen, we're living in a day and age where people have been taught that God does not exist. That there is no God. That man has come from an ape or an amoeba. And we wonder why people don't turn to the one true and living God for their help. And that's primarily why, because there's so much doubt about even the existence of God. And even sometimes Christian people, we don't understand that we can invite depression in our own life because of our own sin. Now notice in verse number 3, there is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Neither is there any what? Rest in my bones because of what? David hit the nail on the head right here. My sin. My sin. And oftentimes in counseling with people, people are dealing with some tragic things. And we've looked at this and identifying some other emotions. So let me just give a quick commercial here. You know, you can nurse. There's nothing wrong with grieving. There's nothing wrong with our emotions. But when our emotions become sitting on the idol of our heart, the throne of our heart becomes an idol, you know, we have let that emotion go too far. You can grieve too long. You can, or too much and keep that grievance in the preeminence in your life and in your heart. And you see, it's not that you're grieving anymore, you're worshiping that grief. It's not that you're bitter, now you're worshiping that bitterness. It's not that you're an angry person, but now you're worshiping that anger you have towards someone. You see what I'm saying? You see, we can put things in their wrong. There's nothing wrong with experiencing our emotions, but allowing them to dictate our life and put us in a downward spiral is not a mental healthy thing. It's certainly not a good spiritual thing. It's certainly not obedience to God's Word. Now, notice what he says in verse 4, For my iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. You see, depression is a real thing, but so is sin. And it is a crushing thing. You see, David went on to say in verse 5, my wounds stink and are corrupt because of what? My foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. And doesn't that sound like depression? Let me give you some symptoms of depression. Little interest in things. Feeling down, helpless, hopeless, troubled. Trouble sleeping. Sleeping too much. Tired. Little energy. Poor appetite. Feeling like a failure. Thoughts. You're better off dead. You want to be alone. There's anger. There's guilt. There's worthlessness. There's... again, hopelessness. And you see, David is exhibiting many of these things. He said, I go mourning, verse 6, all the day long. My loins are filled with a lonesome disease. You see, our spirits can become so oppressed that it will begin to affect our bodily health. And David is saying that here. He said, there's no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble. Start feeling weak, right? Sore, broken, and have roared by reason of the quietness of what? My heart. And we wonder, where is all this stuff coming from? I just feel hopeless and a failure and depressed. And David starts talking to the right person. Lord, all my desires before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth and my strength faileth me, for the light of my eyes is gone out from me. Now I want to go to verse 12. For they also that seek after my life lay snares. Now see, David is dealing with more than what his own sin. He's dealing with circumstantial depression too. You see this? For they also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischief things and imagine deceit all day long. So David's not only dealing with something that he's dealing internally in his own heart, but now his circumstances of life. You ever felt like you've been hit from every side, plus you're dealing with stuff in your own heart? And this is what David is dealing with. Notice right here, is that David's starting to, you know, he's seeing things and having these bad negative thoughts. And that's what depression does. When things start to happen, there's a chain, a sequence of thoughts that our mind begins to go down. Verse 13. But I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was as a dumb man that opened not his mouth. Thus I was as a man that heareth not, and whose mouth are no reproofs. Verse 15. For in thee, O Lord, do I what? Hope. Now we're talking about depression, and because it comes because there is no hope. But he says, for in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord, my God. Now that's very, very important. Let's go down to verse 18. For I will declare. Now, for some, this is where your victory over depression has to start. Notice in verse number 18. For I will declare my what? Iniquity. I will be sorry for my what? Sin. Now this is one type of depression. Now I can't get it in all today, but many people out there need to realize it's not, maybe not a mental thing you're dealing with. Maybe it is a spiritual thing that is affecting your mental stability. Maybe it's because there's some sin, some disobedience in one's life that is bringing this thing, these things into one's life. Now, I want us to go to 1 Kings chapter 19. Now, David got it right. He started calling upon the Lord, but we're going to see another godly man who didn't call upon God, but actually ran away. And running from situations and running from God is not wise. God means us to deal with things. That's how you grow. God means for us to deal with things. You see, God has given man a gift, and he has given the gift of salvation, but he's also given the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And one of those gifts that God has given man, one of the fruits of the Spirit, is faith. Think where we would be without faith. The reason why people are dwelling in hopelessness and depression, because they have lost faith and their perception of what they're dealing with. Now here we have Elijah. In 1 Kings chapter number 19, he has gotten the bad news that Jezebel wants to kill him. Now this man was just calling down fire from heaven, just moments earlier, destroying the prophets of Baal. I mean, seeing the power of God come down in a great way. But now, his circumstances, different type of depression, circumstantial depression, or perceptual depression, is unfolding in front of his eyes. And you see, verse 2, the Bible says, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. In other words, she put it very bluntly, Elijah, I'm going to kill you. And when he heard that, you see, God made us three parts, spirit, soul, body. Our body processes information about our relevant world. When you get an email, you read, it comes through the eye gate. When you hear something, it comes through the ears. We have smell, we have taste, we have touch. Our bodies keep us in touch with what's going on. It sees the waves coming into our boat. It sees the trouble that we are about to face. And here Elijah is, he's hearing that this lady is about to kill him. And now what he's seeing and what he's hearing begins to affect something in his soul, which is called emotions. And now all of a sudden he believes what he's seeing and he believes what he's hearing, and then he takes flight. Now he's running from God and running from where God has placed him, running from everything in his life. You see, he's going in the wrong direction. You see, even the best of people can have to deal with depression. And Elijah was definitely a man after God's own heart. You see, what faith does, faith allows us to claim God's promises and to think outside of our perceived matrix. I want you to think about, if you have a scratch piece of paper there, just draw a circle about the size of a small cup or a bottle of water. And just put a lot of dots in that circle. You know what? If you start putting a lot of dots in that circle, those dots represent your thoughts and your ideas that come into your mind. Now, all of those thoughts are not bad, right? But if enough thoughts in that circle, in your mind, in your perceived matrix of things, becomes dark enough. Now, you take one dot and make it bigger than the other one. Darken it in. And if you darken it in, then you have a bigger spot inside of that circle that's darker than the other. It's taking up more space. Now, if you take another thought and you do the same thing, you make it darker and you make it dark, and then you take a third thing, and then you take a fourth thing. How many had a day when nothing goes right? It seems like if one thing goes bad, other things go bad. I'm just using that as an analogy. People don't have days like that. They seem like their life is going that way. In other words, you can darken in almost all of those dots to the point where you're staring into black, dark, utter hopelessness and depression. Who's going to help me? Who can help me with all this? You see, that's the matrix of what you're looking at. But we have to understand God has given mankind something that doesn't get in that matrix, but works on that matrix. And you think about it, this entire world is being controlled that way. Through false ideas, propaganda, and matrix. And God has designed the Christian, not only the Christian life, but the Christian should look outside the matrix, because God is not controlled by that matrix. God is not controlled by the devil's lies that come through the media. God is not controlled by the lies that you think that what you're dealing with. He's not controlled by your Jezebels. He's not afraid of your Jezebels. You see, you can take all those dots and they can get negative and you darken them in even bigger before all your circle. Everything in your mind is just going to be dark. And now we're dealing with some very serious clinical type, manic depressant type things, situations where people are really dealing with some deep, dark things in their life. You see, God has given something called faith. Not just faith in anything, but faith in Christ. You see, it's not that we have faith, but where that faith lies, where that power lies. That power lies in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So we can put our faith in God's Word. You see, that's why God gave promises, so we can build our relationship on conversation or promises from God's Word. I was telling my kids the other day, I said, look, if you want people to really know you, you gotta talk. People don't know you. You know, they can look at you and think, well, maybe that's a good kid, or maybe that's a good, person. But they don't know you until you begin to talk. Listen, God has talked to us through His Word. Amen. And He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He says, I will exalt my Word above my throne. And when we start thinking like that, you see, we're thinking outside the matrix of our discouragement, of everything we're facing in life. You say, well, Pastor, it's there. It's still there. I'm dealing with it. I'm not telling you ignore it. I'm just telling you don't let your emotions conquer you. God knows it's there. But what He wants to conquer is not necessarily the problem, but your emotions that are ruling and bringing the water, the emotional thing. Listen, we have to learn to let Jesus Christ calm the waves. You know what those angry waves are? They're our emotions. That water is not going to sink the boat. Because Christ is in the boat. Master, do you care that we perish? You see, it's been scientifically proven that our thinking pattern affects our neurochemistry. In other words, all the neurotransmitters and all the endorphins and all these things that fire off and make us happy and make us sad. It has been scientifically proven how we think affects our chemicals in our bodies. God knows that. He made us. Hello. And if if He knows that, we should know that, because I guarantee you, Satan knows that. Satan knows how we're made better than we do. And he knows how to use those things against us. You see, once hope is gone, we're staring into a deep, dark abyss of nothingness and depression and hopelessness. You see, what David did that Elijah didn't do is he began to talk back to God. Talk with God about this thing. And by the way, let me say this. There are a lot of religious people who are in mental institutions. It's not that we talk to God. We have to listen. We have to listen. You see, many people are depressed because they believe a lie. Elijah believed a lie. Matter of fact, my Bible tells me this man never died anyway. God just kind of took him up. He was believing a lie. And we have said time and again, when it comes to our emotions, if we believe the false narrative, if we believe into the ideas and everything that Satan's throwing at us, if we believe and look into that matrix, that dark, deep ideas and the false things that come at us, if we believe that, we're going to feel like we believe. If you notice here, Elijah started feeling alone, like God wasn't with him. So what did he do? He took up, in verse 3, the Bible says, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. Elijah felt alone. He felt abandoned. He felt hopeless. So he naturally didn't want to be around anybody because he wanted to be how he felt. He felt alone, so he wanted to be alone. And you see, this is where, have you ever heard of the symptom of depression? It's isolation. Huh? And you see, he began to isolate himself from people that cared about him. Not only people that cared about him, but the God who loved him. And this is how powerful our emotions are. And if you're experiencing things like this, you see, life is interpreted by what we perceive. Wouldn't you say that? You know, it's raining outside. Okay, I don't want to go outside. I'm going to stay home today. Your mind kind of shifts gears and thinks differently. And you see, life is interpreted by Elijah here based on lies. And you know where people that are dealing with depression, you know what they're dealing with in this type of depression? It is perceptual depression because their perception is all distorted. You think there's no hope. But there is hope. The hope is in Jesus Christ. You say, well, God's got to change all this stuff. No, listen, God doesn't change the stuff until He changes your heart. And that's what people don't get. There's a transcendent power where God does mighty works. He still parts the Red Seas. He still rolls tells Lazarus to come forth. He still does those type of things in life, but He does not do those things until we learn the lesson. He was trying to teach Peter a lesson when He told Peter to come, get out of the boat. And Peter started watching what? The waves and the wind. And all of a sudden, Peter began to what? Sink. Perceptual depression. And he began to sink because he was believing what his receptors, his eyes and his ears were saying, not counting the fact that he was looking and staring in the face of omnipotence. And you see, you and I can be that close to Jesus, but not really grasp His true power and His true essence of who He is. And that's why we think, oh, it's hopeless. No, it's not hopeless. When we learn what we need to learn about Him and about ourselves, and by the way, when you learn about yourself, you're going to be confessing sin. And when you do that, you'll see Christ high, holy, and lifted up. You see, life is interpreted based on our perceptions. And Elijah had a bad perception. He had a false perception. And what you believe is emboldened. He believed a lie. And who's the father of lies? Satan. Satan. And that is where our depression begins to put in a chain effect of thoughts in our lives. And the one dot gets darker and darker than the other one, than the other one, than the other. You see, one lie can bring the whole house down. The whole house down. Lies are about what we think of God and ourselves. And when you're believing a lie, you're believing exactly what Satan told Eve in the Garden of Eden. You know, all of man's kind troubles have come from disbelieving God. All of them. All of mankind's trouble has come from disbelieving God. Now, I want you to hold your place in 1 Kings here. We'll come back. I just want to show you something. You say, well, Pastor, do I really need Jesus for all this? And, you know, can I just, you know, go meditate and go, and do yoga and whatever? Well, you can help yourself. It's a free country. Seriously, I respect everybody's opinion. But I want to show you something. Don't think for a moment that what you're dealing with doesn't have a spiritual influence, because it does. You feel it. You know it's there. You feel that cold, dark dampness that just kind of engulfs you. You know it's there. 1 Timothy chapter 4, notice this. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall what? Depart from the faith. And we have a lot of folks doing that. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Get this. Giving what? Heed to what? Seducing spirits and what? In other words, believing a lie. Why is it that this day and age we're having more and more bouts of depression? They seem like than ever before. Could this verse be the answer to our question? That in the latter days, some shall depart from the faith? Because the Holy Spirit says here, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing what? Spirits and doctrine of devils, speaking what? Lies in what? Hypocrisy. Think on that. Think on this. When we heed thoughts that are totally delusional, that there is no hope. I didn't say your situation is delusional. I'm talking about what God can do with your situation. Just hopeless. I'm staring into a dark tomb of nothing. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ was in a dark tomb, but He came out. He came out. And all of us have dealt with depression. All of us have. Thoughts can be delusional, condemning, suicidal, hopeless, guilt. This is the battle that rages in the mind. And Paul tells us to bring all of these thoughts into captivity of Christ. You see, deception is a Satan tactic. And so what you're dealing with is, it does have a spiritual root to what you're dealing with. So if it has a spiritual root, then what you're dealing with, do you think the world can really help in a significant way with this problem? I think not. I think Jesus Christ is the answer to this problem of depression. So, hopelessness is what Satan paints for you in your matrix. But God has given us something called faith that steps outside of that and said, my God can do all things. My God can do all things. Now, 1 Kings chapter 19. What did Elijah do? He believed a lie. You got that? He believed a lie. Verse 2 and 3. Verse 3, he chose to go into isolation. Verse 4, he had suicidal thoughts because he himself went a day's journey in the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested himself that he might die and said, "It is enough." In other words, I can't take it anymore. It's enough. I just can't deal with it. "Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." He's experiencing failure, failure, failure. What he thinks is failure, failure, failure. He's isolated himself. He's believing this lie. And he just has a loss of energy, a loss of get up and go. And in verse 5 he says, "And he lay down and slept." Symptom of depression, right? Not wanting to eat. Now, just so happened God had an angel standing around doing nothing. Amen. And so God had an angel there to strengthen him. You see this? And the Bible says in verse 5, "And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and what? Eat." You see, depression affects the body as well as the mind and the spirit. And so he goes on. He's trying to help his servant. He's trying to help him. God understands our physical needs of this thing. He has no energy. He's wanting to sleep. You see, lies forced Elijah here. God never told him to go here. It was lies. Lies that Elijah believed. And why did he do it? Obviously, he thought God wasn't going to help him. He thought, "I'm in this alone. Nobody's going to help me." You see, and I want to go real quickly through here, and we'll see how Elijah began to turn this situation around. Now, I want you to notice something here. It got worse for Elijah. In verse number 8, the Bible says, "And he rose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mountain of God. And he came thither unto a cave." Is a cave a dark place? You see, your thoughts can go to a very, very, very dark place where a lot of critters and creepy things are. Things that you don't want to talk about to nobody else. You see, that's when the real you begins to, the thoughts that you have, the real you begins to, you begin to meditate over these things and think about them. And notice what God did to him when he got there. In verse 9 he said, "And he came thither unto him unto a cave and lodged there." It wasn't camping out. He lodged there. Do you think Elijah is having a very, very serious bout of depression here? When you like living in a dark place, a cold, damp place, this man's in bad trouble. He's in bad trouble. But our God is so great, and look what he says. And he says, "Behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah?" You see, a lot of times we think God is sitting there patting us on the back of the head and saying, "Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Stay right here where you're at. I feel sorry for you too." But what God is saying is, "Why are you here? Why are you there? Why did you choose to stay there? I'm the God of heaven and earth. Amen. You belong to me. Why are you here in this place?" You see, and then Elijah begins to tell him why. He says, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and have slain thy prophets with the sword, and I am only left, and they seek my life to take it away." He says, "Lord, I've been serving you, and all this is coming about me. And I just don't understand it all, and now I'm trying to be assassinated." And verse 11 notes, and he said, "Go forth and stand in the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire." Now let me stop right here. People are always wanting God to say, "Just show your power. Just handle all this. Just let me see it." But you know, God wasn't in all that stuff. God allowed this to happen to show Elijah something. He's trying to teach you and I something. God is not in all that. what gives you hope, what gives me hope, what gives us light, what turns that tide of depression when we get in those dark places is none other than what we're about to read. Get this. At the latter part of verse 12, it says, and after the fire, a what? Still, small voice. And it was so when Elijah, get this, heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entering of the cave. Now, what's in the entering of the cave? Light. Light. Thank you, sir. Light. You see, he's coming out of this dark place. Why? Because of God's Word. Because of God's Word. Not a pill, not a program, but because of God's Word. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in the mantle, went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there was a voice unto him and said, ask him again, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he began to respond in the same way. I've been zealous and I've kept the covenant. Everybody's against me now. Now Jezebel wants to kill me. Notice in verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, go and what?
Return.
On thy way to the wilderness. I want you to drop down to verse 18. I'll come back to a word right there in verse 15 in just a moment. But I want you to get this verse 18. Notice what God tells him. He says, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Now, did Elijah say, I'm all by myself? Was his perception wrong about his circumstances? Huh? You see, these 7,000 people Elijah had influenced. These are 7,000 people this man has been strengthened in God. But his perception is, nobody's with me. I'm all in this thing alone. God, how could you do this? Now Jezebel wants to kill me. You see, Elijah believed a lie. And it put him in a dark place. You see, God gave us this thing of faith. Faith in Christ, that He can do a work in our heart. And God, again, when God, we begin to let God do a work in our heart, there's a transcendent power that God begins to work on circumstances in our life. And that's where we see the miracles. But the greatest miracle is what's done in our heart. You see, when Elijah heard that voice, that still small voice, that's what brought him out of that dark place. It wasn't anything else. You see, it is the Word of God that brings us out of the dark places. And when Elijah was brought forth out of this dark place, you see, he went back to doing his normal thing in life. He got back to what he was called to do. But the point I'm trying to make you, he believed a lie. Now, was Jezebel real? Yeah. Did she want to kill him? Yeah. But that doesn't mean it was going to happen. Because God, nothing gets to you unless it goes through God first. This word return right here, I said I want to get back to it and I'll close with this. The Bible says in verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, go return. This word return, we've looked at it. It means to get back to the point of departure. And in Psalms 116, verse 6 and 7, I want to read them to you. You can turn there if you want. Just a quick closing comment and we're done. We're done. The Bible says, the Lord preserveth the simple. In other words, God preserves those that just trust in Him. That word preserve means to protect, to hedge about. Just like He did with Job. Remember Job? The Lord preserveth the simple. The psalmist says, I was brought low. Get this. I'm in verse 6. And He, what? Helped me. I was brought low and He helped me. Verse 7, notice this word return. It means going back to the point of departure. It says, return unto thy rest, O my soul. Why? Why? Because you're looking at a deep, dark matrix of black hole of hopelessness that's causing depression? No. No. Return to thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt what? Bountifully. That's what God wants to do with His people. But listen, God doesn't do that while we're believing a lie. He does that when we begin to believe His Word. You see that? And that's why I say there are many religious people who are suffering from depression. Oh, Lord, help me. I've been there. But as long as you're believing the emotional lie, instead of believing God's bountiful love and His gracious hand towards you, He's not going to do a work. Why are you there? This is what God asked Elijah. Why are you there? We have a God, if you're saved here today, we have a God that created heaven and earth. And you may be praying for Him to change something out here, but the thing He wants us to change is our emotions. The Jebusites, the hopelessness that is in here. Because if Christ is your Savior, He is our blessed hope. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. Lord, I pray today that, Lord, we can understand that You are the help for our hopeless, depressing situations. And Father, I pray that Christian people begin to look to Thee for the answers. Lord, if there's someone here today dealing with things or they know of someone, Lord, we just pray You'll work in our heart and respond accordingly. Lord, if there's someone here that does not know Christ as their Savior today, let the day be the day they receive Christ and have heaven as their home in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you do not know Christ as your Savior, would you just consider this? John 3:16 says, God loves you. He sent His Son to die on Calvary's cross. The Bible says also that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means we've all sinned. Jesus said, no man cometh to the Father except by me. We can't get there on our good works or anything. But if you're here today and you believe that God loves you and you believe that you're a sinner, the Bible says that we're to repent and ask Christ to be our Savior. Paul said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe Jesus Christ rose from the dead, was died for you and rose for the dead, you believe God loves you, but you believe also you're a sinner and undone, can't get to heaven on your own, I want to encourage you to pray this prayer today, that Christ will come and be your Savior in your heart. If that's you, pray this prayer. Dear God, be merciful to me. I am a sinner. I ask Jesus Christ to be my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. And I ask Jesus to come into my heart by faith. I believe He died for me and rose again. And I ask Him to be my Savior in Jesus' name. If that's you here today and you prayed that prayer, would you just quietly lift your hand? I'm not going to call your name. I'm not going to embarrass you. You just quietly lift your hand and put it right back down. Amen. Anyone else? Anyone else? What about for the Christians today? You're facing things and wondering, God, are You really here? The things that you're facing, the thoughts of hopelessness, and that thought just seems to grow and grow until your whole world is dark. Or maybe you want to pray for someone. We all have to deal with these things. Remember, God's greatest work is in our heart as we believe His Word. If you have your hymnal in hand, let's stand if you would, please. Turn to hymn 124, Just As I Am. And if God has spoke to you, don't wait. Just step out. Let God have His way today.